From September, the ARIA charts are separating entries older than 2 years into their own legacy charts. Will this better connect you, the listener, to new Australian music? Dr. Ben Green, a lecturer in music industry and popular culture at RMIT University, is on the line to chat more. Ben, how are you?
Thanks for having me, Bethany.
No worries. So, why are the charts being revamped now?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. One thing that's very interesting is that ARIA have said that they're changing the charts for an actual motive. They want to better support and reflect new Australian music. So there's actually an agenda here, and they're being very open about that. And there's two reasons why they need to do this, really. One is that the charts are increasingly dominated by old music. So for most of chart history, the top 50, the top 100, the top 20 has been new music, new singles, with just about 100% of the singles chart up until about 2018. A bit less so with albums, because you'd have compilation albums, best ofs, things like that. What changed is that about 10 years ago, ARIA stopped counting just the point of sale. You know, when you go and buy a CD, or when you download an MP3 from iTunes, when you bought it, that's all they used to count, sales. And they realized, well, that's not how most people consume music now. They had to update that. And they updated it to include streaming data. And that's how many times something is listened to. So that might be a more accurate reflection these days, but it's fundamentally different, because think about, you might just buy an album once, or at least back in the days when we bought albums or CDs or singles, but how many times do you listen to something? You might listen to it for the rest of your life. And so that's why we now see in the top 50, you know, Fleetwood Mac's Dreams has been in there for hundreds of weeks in the top 20. The latest entry in the top 50, at I think number 46, is another Fleetwood Mac song, The Chain. Both of these are, you know, 45 years old now. So that's one reason. The other thing that's going on here is that there's a declining amount of Australian music in the singles and albums charts. And that really reflects a bigger problem. But I suppose what ARIA is saying is, well, new Australian music is not only competing against the rest of the world, it's competing against all the music ever released. And so they're at least trying to reduce some of those barriers and increase the visibility for Australian music.
Yeah, because I know that Triple J has faced a lot of backlash for the fact that most of the music that are in the top 10 or top 100 of the Triple J Hottest 100, a lot of them aren't Australian, like, musicians. And some artists win the competition and they don't even understand, or they don't even know what it is. So I think it's really interesting that ARIA is doing this. And I'm reminded of how kind of the Harlem Shake dance meme a dozen or so years ago made the song, you know, the 1,000th track to summit the ARIA charts. And with online data, it's not a singular listening experience anymore. It's you listen to all the music, as you were saying, ever created. So are there any kind of other ways that the streaming data has impacted the stat tracking in the past decade, like with international music as well?
Well, there's some interesting trends that we can see. One thing is that because, as well as radio, there was some recent research released actually by Creative Australia, or Music Australia, our national music industry or music agency within the arts agency, Creative Australia. Anyway, they released this data which shows that radio is still significant, as we know. A lot of people listen to radio. I'm speaking to the converted here. But a lot of people encounter music and discover music through streaming services. And that might be things like Spotify and so on, or it might be things like YouTube. And what we know about those is that they, rather than being selected by DJs and programmers and so forth, where there's at least some people there behind it, there are these there are curators involved in these services, but it's a bit opaque. And largely these things are dictated by algorithms and AI sort of structures. And one of the things that's happening is that international music is being presented to people over and above local music, whereas a radio station like 2SER has an interest in promoting local music, and there are shows dedicated to this. And so that's one of the big issues. And where there is Australian music, as you've said, it tends to be older. So one of the things ARIA charts already have is Australian-only singles and albums charts. But if you look at the singles chart, number one, Don't Dream It's Over by Crowded House. Number two, Thunderstruck by AC/DC, and so on and so forth. It goes from there. So that's where you can really see at least one little part of the equation is, well, if there's a chart that's only showing the new music, at least then we can see what's popular. That's one form of visibility, but it's, yes, it is just one little part of the equation here.
And how do you think that this change in tracking, like with the last 2 years shift, how will that, sort of move the needle in the Oz music ecosystem?
Sure. Well, look, we shouldn't really overstate it too much, I guess. You know, some people have been saying to me, look, the charts will still be dominated by the major labels and so forth. And I suppose that's as it's always been. But one of the things we might at least see is that given this challenge of discoverability, visibility for especially new Australian artists, then having a chart that puts them first and foremost, and where they're not competing with, you know, Fleetwood Mac, for example, at least that's this extra little bit of visibility. Now, that's just the first step. It's an important first step, but from that bit of visibility, that doesn't necessarily get you a living as an artist. As we know, streaming on its own isn't going to make you a living. But you can translate that visibility, hopefully, into other sources, into getting live bookings, into getting a good slot on a festival bill, into merchandise, into licensing, all of these things that artists can try to make a living out of. So it's that extra bit of visibility, or what they're calling discoverability, is something that's useful. Of course, there's other things that people are proposing might be done. You know, in radio, there are quotas. There are regulations or industry rules, at least, that say radio stations have to play at least X percent Australian music. And community stations like 2SER actually go above and beyond that because it's their mission to do that. But when it comes to streaming services, they aren't bound by any of those quotas. And so one of the things that's being looked at is how could we apply that to streaming? And sure, you might think that's tricky. It's not the same thing. But then some people say, well, if you look at the interface of your streaming service, look at how tailored it is. You're getting advertising that's targeted to your postcode, to your gender, to your age group, to your tastes, and all of these very specific things. And so there are ways that streaming services can be tailored potentially to present or to better highlight local things. And these are some things that might also be explored.
Thank you so much for joining us today. That was Dr. Ben Green, lecturer in music and industry and popular culture at RMIT University. Thank you so much, Ben.
Thanks so much.